Okay, Rabosai. The Shulchan Aruch opens Hilchas Nida here. If you might have noticed, the Shulchan Aruch in the beginning of Hilchas Nida is very short. The Torah and the Beis Yosef here are very long because it explains a lot of the Yesodos that don't necessarily make a difference in Halacha L'maisa. But we'll start by reading the Shulchan Aruch in general. Oh, yes. Thank you. Oh, first of all, I owe Isaac a debt. There was a tangent last time where I wanted to say a pshat that the difference between Safek Tumor Shah Yachnim Shah Rabbim is whether you already have some relationship with the Tumor or not. And Isaac said, in that case, Safek Tumor Shah Yachnim should only be Lachumor if you're not sure if you touched it, but not if you're not sure if it's Tumay or not, which he didn't say this, but he meant, which is then against the Mishnah and Taros. So I tried to refresh my memory a little and looked at my notes, and I have to admit that you're right. That shot only works according to the Shita of the Rid. But there's a Tosos Rid, and needs enough Beis Amid Beis, who says, he doesn't say exactly my shot, but he obviously had it in mind, he says, you're right, Safek Tumor Shah Yachid is only Midoraisa if you're not sure if you touched it, but you're sure it's Tamei, and everything else just an extension to Rabbanan. So, okay, so that shot works for the Tosos Rid, and needs the Beis Amid Beis, Ayin Shan. That's paying my debts. Now let's get to Shir. As a general rule, you should always bring a Shulchan Aruch to Shir, which I see that everyone seems to have done. Excellent. Now let's start reading the Shulchan Aruch. There's a lot here. Basically, a lot is background before we get to the Shulchan Aruch. But let's just start by reading the Shulchan Aruch. Itza isha sheyotza da mimekora. Right? What is Tumas Nida? Tumas Nida, very important. Obviously, Nida is talking about menstruation. However, halachically, it makes no difference. Sometimes people are confused about this. They call the rabbi and they say, okay, but it wasn't menstruation. Makes no difference whether it's menstruation or not. It just matters that dam comes out of the mokor. Right? Okay, we'll see an exception. The mokor being the uterus, the womb. If dam comes out of the mokor, bein bo onis, bein bo ratzon. Onis and ratzon here doesn't mean what we're used to it meaning in other areas of halacha, meaning someone held a gun to your head or not. Rather, onus and ratzon means whether your body did it on its own as part of a natural process or whether there was some external stimuli that caused it to happen, right? Whether the woman just naturally got to the point of the month where she bled or whether, I don't know, you like did something, I don't know, gave her a certain pill that made her bleed or, I don't know, whatever it is. They have examples. She jumped in a certain way. It doesn't matter what caused it. Timea. She is a Nida. V'hu shetargish b'tziyaso. That is, and we're going to have to come back to this line, this is a big line, if she feels it coming out. Umihu mishetargish b'shenekar mimikomo v'yotza, tmeya. However, once she feels it coming out of its place being the mukher, where it originates, and it goes out, she is tmeya v'afa pishlo yotza la'chutz. Even though it doesn't go outside. What does it mean, doesn't go outside? Okay, here, there's a lot of controversy as to what the different words in the Gemara for different parts of the woman's body mean. I'm going to now explain according to the accepted shot of most Rishonim and all Achronim and Poskim. Okay, you can ask me another time whether I think that's the right shot in the Gemara. But it's first important for us to know how they use the words, because we're going to see the words used. We want to know how the Achronim use the words. So this is one of the many things I'm really not good at is art. But if here is the inside of a woman's body and there is something called the mukor. The mukor in English is the uterus or the womb. Same thing, sometimes called a kever as a euphemism. That's where all the dam starts. Okay? After the mukher, this is all inside the body. This is the body. There is this is the Bein Hashinayim. Bein Hashinayim is the cervix. The cervix is the opening that opens and closes the way into the mukor. Like, for example, what lets a baby out, who's very, very large, the cervix has certain muscles that can make it go open, make it close more. That's the Bein Hashinayim. When the dam leaves the mukor, passes the Bein Hashinayim, she becomes a nida. even though it didn't go outside her body yet, this is the called in Lashon Chazal. This is the vaginal canal. That's the place where Tashmish happens. This is called Oso Makom as a euphemism in Chazal, just because it's not so polite to give a specific word for it. And it's also called, the way we assume, the prosdor. Right? This is called the prosdor, meaning prosdor is an entryway. Right? That's called the prosdor. So once it comes through the Bein HaShinayim into the prosdor, the woman is tamei. That means even though the blood's still in her body, she's still a nida. The Pesachei Tshuva here closes the discussion, but ends up with a very clear conclusion. Coming from the prosdor out of her body doesn't make her a nida. Meaning, what's matame is going from here to here. Going from here to here doesn't do anything. She's already tamei, but it doesn't add any more tumah. Going from there to there, like if that happens on a different day, or all these various examples without getting into it. That's what he means, even though the blood didn't come out yet. Okay, we'll come back to this. Even if she only sees a drop of blood like mustard, why like a mustard seed? So the Achronim say lav davka. That was just the example if you ever learn Mishnayos. It's always just the example of the smallest thing which they used as an example. So it just means even the tiniest amount, and even though there's a big discussion, the Rishonim, we assume it has nothing to do with the color, doesn't mean the color of mustard is a problem. It just means even the tiniest amount, and Chardol is just an example. Yoshevasol of Shivanakiyam, she has to set Shivanakiyam. That's that phrase, of course, where all the action is.
Any reason not Kolshehu for the last year?
Any reason not Kolshehu? So the Achronim assume it is Kolshehu. As the Shach says, Gimel, Vehuadin Pachos. Right? It's really Kolshehu. Why do they use Chardol? That's just their example of a Kolshehu. You know, it's lav davka kachardo. There's lots of shatim, meaning halavai we had time. There's lots of creative shatim, the achronim, why they used, and rishonim, even why they used chardal. But the way we paskin, it's lav davka. Yeah?
So there has to be a ri'ya of something, according to this?
Okay, what do we mean by ri'ya? Good point. So this is very, very important. The Shulchan Aruch talks about ri'ya a lot. Ri'iyah does not mean seeing. Like, it doesn't actually matter if you see it or not. I mean, practically, it's hard to know there's blood if you don't see it. But it doesn't actually matter if you see it. Let's say the woman is blind, but she knows that she felt the blood come out. That's called a ri'iyah in the language of the poskim. Ri'iyah just means, we'll add this a little, but ri'iyah doesn't actually mean seeing. It just means, like, knowing the blood came out. So it's really, you know, the ri'iyah is, obviously, practically, people usually don't know things if they don't see them. Like, we don't all have a yonavi to tell us what happened, or fancy contraptions. But it doesn't actually have to do with seeing, it just is with coming out. Like, for example, what do we just say? It's the time of year when it leaves the mocker and goes into the prosdor, right? What's another word for this? Sorry. Beis hachitzon, right? The outer. I should write it back here. Or beis hachitzon, right? The outer part. Like, base just means part. Right? When it goes to Beis HaChitzon, she hasn't necessarily seen it yet. As soon as it goes to Beis HaChitzon, how could she see it? No one could see there. That's called a Re'iyah. So the Lashon of Re'iyah is Lav Davka. We understand why it's used, because practically people see things. That's how they know they exist. But it's not really Davka. It doesn't have to do with seeing. Okay, then the Ramah adds, Kasher Yisbor, Mishpatan, L'kamishim, Kuf Tzadi Vav. That's not crucial yet. Okay. Now, let's talk a little about the Shivanakiyam. So, the Beis Yosef here, really based on the Torah, goes through a whole discussion of what's the Doraisa, what's the Rabbanan. Let's chazer for a moment. What is the Din Doraisa? What is the Din Rabbanan? There is something called Nida, and there's something called Ziva. What does Nida mean? Nida means, in the Chumash, when a woman gets her period in a expected normal time. Ziva means when she gets her period not in the normal time, meaning in the middle of the month. And we have either a drasha from the Pesukim, or we see the Paschal Lachol Moshe B'Sinai, that 11 days between Nida and Nida are Halachol Moshe B'Sinai, meaning there's 11 days of Ziva. So a woman could be in her Yemei Nida or in her Yemei Ziva. Okay, we'll figure out for a moment what those are. But first, let's just figure out what the din is. The din is this. If a woman is in her days of Nida or in her days of Ziva, what is the din? So the din is, how many days does she see? If she sees 1 day or 2 days or 3 days, right? Don't be confused, right, with the din of a Zav. A Zav, his tongue depends if he sees one time, 2 times, or 3 times. Doesn't have to be on different days. But with a Zava, it depends how many days she sees. Not how much, or how many hours during the day, or how many fluid ounces during the day, or et cetera, just how many days. So what's the din of a Nida? The din of a Nida is the Tama Shivas Yamin. She's Tmeya for 7 days. Regardless of clean, dirty, etc., she just has to know she stopped bleeding by the end of the 7th day. But the din of a Nida is she is Tmeya for 7 days. And this is the same. No matter how many days she bleeds, even if she bleeds 7 days. Okay, if she bled 8 days, then already she would be a Zava, because now she'd be in the Ziva phase. But a Nida is Tmeya for 7 days. Once upon a time in the old days, let's say in the time of the Tanaim, then if a woman got a regular monthly period in the regular time, then she would just be Tmeya for 7 days. There would be no Shiva Nikiyev, there would be no, just whatever, first day. She got a period on Tuesday, she'd be Tmeya through next Monday evening.
That last night you said that if she bleeds, let's say day 1 and then day 6, 7, 8, so she's
a Zava.
Even according to Rashi? Like, I thought Rashi, yes. I thought Rashi just assumed there was this like stretch time period.
The 7 days.
I assume that also works on the 7 days as well. Whenever she stops, so then that's when, like,
no, absolutely not. Okay. Pasha not from the Mishnah. Okay, that's the Nida. Nida is just Tmeya for 7 days, regardless of what happens. However, a Zava. The Ramban explains that a Nida is a normal bleeding that sort of maybe parallel to the Valkyrie of a man, which is a normal thing, and that's just Tmeya for a certain amount of tummy for a certain amount of days. A Zava is abnormal. It's something wrong with her. And therefore, to be retired from Tuma Zava, you need to have clean days. How many clean days does she need to count? So that depends. If it's 1 or 2 days, she is called, a Zava Ketana, or, same thing in different words, Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. She counts, has to keep 1 day for the day, even though it's really 1 day for 1 or 2 days. And what the rule is, that she needs to, she is Tmeya, until she counts 1 Yom Naki. She has to count 1 clean day, meaning the next day she has to get up in the morning and check that she is clean, and that's 1 day of cleanliness, which is, and then go to the mikvah, of course, you always have to go to the mikvah, which is mitar her from her Shemesh Yom Keneged Yom. What if she bleeds for 3 days in a row? Then she is what is called a Zava Gedola. She also is bringing a carbon, but that's not relevant. It's not a zeb, I'm going to say a rabbin. Then she is Tmeya until she counts Shiva Nikiyim. Tmeya until she counts Shiva Nikiyim. So you see, by the way, if a woman bleeds for 1 or 2 days, it's much more machir to be a Nida than to be a Zava. Because a Zava, she'd only have to count 1 clean day and then go to the mikvah. If she's a Nida, she's Tmeya for 7 days, regardless. However, she's 3 times, it's much more chomer to be a Zava. Because a Nida just has to finish up 7 days, whether clean or bloody. Zava Ketana has to wait until she stops bleeding and then count 7 clean days in a row.
Sorry, just to clarify.
Zava Ketana, I mean.
With the main Nida, she could bleed. She bleeds once, then she's tummy for 7 days, but she could keep bleeding up until that.
Regardless of what happens, correct. If she bleeds 7 days in a row, or if she bleeds once and then clean, it's all the same.
As long as she stops.
Stop by the end of the 7th day. Yes, exactly. Meaning, what would they do in the time of the Tanaim? If a woman got her period, she would pay no attention. I mean, obviously she'd pay attention, but halachically, she would pay no attention to what happened in the next 7 days. She could bleed a lot, a little, it makes no difference. All the days, none of the days. On the seventh day, she was just checked that she stopped bleeding by that point, which she probably did, right? It's pretty unlikely. A woman's period would last more than 7 days. And then she would go to the mikveh. Life was very simple. Now, the... excuse me, sorry. Now, let's talk about, for a moment, what are Yemei Nida, what are Yemei Ziva? So, Ziva is Halacha Moshe Sinai, or Drasha, the 11 days after Nida, between Nida and Nida, are Yemei Ziva. How does that work? So, this is the Machlokes in all the Rishonim and the Rambam. And it's really a good couple weeks' work to look through all the Rambams, and there's like one or two Makoros that quote other Rishonim or go, like, there's not necessarily any original, like, I don't know of any actual, like, sources written by a Rishon or Gaon himself who say they agree with the Rambam. There are some quotes. There's one Rishon or quotes that are Reina Hanan agreed with the Rambam. And there's one one gloss in a Medrash that quotes were Shrimer Gaon agreed with the Rambam. Maybe someone else in history wants to agree with the Rambam. Maybe not. We're not sure. But certainly, all the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. What are the two shitas out as to what is your Yemei Nida, what is your Yemei Ziva? So, and the Rambam shita is very, very complicated. The Achronim argue, you know, a million different places. Exactly what do the Rambam mean in this case? Exactly what do the Rambam mean in this case? And then the Rambam seems to be against a few Gemaras and how to work that out. It's a whole, like, good 2-3 weeks work to even get start to figure out what the shita of the Rambam that no one possibly like is. So I'm going to leave that for your Bein HaZmanim if that's your, you know, choice. That's your preference.
And just Ziva to go, after she counts 7 days, what's her...
She counts seven clean days, then she goes to the mitzvah, then she's
to
Torah.
Then she goes back to... does she continue her Yemei Ziva, or she goes back to Yemei Ziva?
So give me a... So good question. So, well, if she saw on day 1, 2, and 3 of Yemei Ziva and counted 4 through 10 as the Kiyah, and then day 11 is still Yemei Ziva. Okay. But what if it's like past those days? Then we'll get to that in a moment. Okay, so let us... okay, let me try to be clear about this. I know it's a little hard. But Rashi and all the other Rishonim except for the Rambam make it, I think, pretty simple. What do they say? They say that the 11 days of Ziva are, this is the key, the 11 days following the 7 days of Tumas Nida. You'll see what I mean by that in a moment. Whenever a woman has Tumas Nida, the next 11 days are potential Ziva. That's the sheet of Rashi and the other Rishonin. They say, because the Gemara says, after 7 days of Nida comes 11 days of Ziva. What does it mean? After 7 days of Tumas Nida. I mean, you can only become a Zava in the 11 days after 7 days of getting your period. Right? So, what do they mean? They mean that when is Yemei Ziva after 7 days of Tumas Nida, meaning after getting your period, right? The next 11 days are potential Ziva. So if a woman wants to know, is she in Yemei Nida or is she in Yemei Ziva? I'm not answering Bibi's question yet. It's very, very simple, right? If a woman, right? If a woman wants, so after she got, the only way she becomes a Zava is from day 8 to 18 after getting her period. That's when she can become a Zava. Either the period lasts 8 or 9 or 10 days, or the period stops and then she bleeds again in the middle of the month, etc. That's how she become a Zava. So, basically what happens, if a woman bleeds, it's very simple. If it's within 7 days of becoming a Nida, nida, then it's not significant, right? If it's within 7 days, then it's just during her 7 days of nida. It doesn't matter if she bleeds or not. It's part of tumas nida, right? It has no halachic effect. If it's days 8 to 18 after becoming nida, then that's called ziva. And if she's 1 day's avakatana, 2 days avakatana, 3 days avakadoma. What if it is 18 days, right? Meaning 19 and on, right? After becoming a nida, then she becomes a nida again. That's her next period. So for Rashi and everyone else, it's pretty simple. If she knows when she became a nida, then it's pashut. Any bleeding the first 7 days is just during May nida, makes no difference. She's tmeya bleeding or not. Any bleeding in days 8 to 18, which again is biologically very strange, right? Any bleeding in days 8 to 18 makes her a zava. How, what kind of zava? Depends how many days she bled. By the way, it has to be in a row. She bleeds on day 8 and 9 and 11 and 12 and 14 and 15 and 17 and 18, she still is zava katana. Only in a row. When I say it was 3, it means in a row, right? If it's not in a row, then she erased it, right? Because one clean day erases the zava katana.
You don't need mikvah for zava katana, right?
You do need mikvah for zava katana. All these need mikvah, all these have kiyuv karis for bia.
So what is zava katana? She didn't go to mikvah yet.
Doesn't matter. Not going to the mikvah doesn't affect what the blood does to you. It only affects whether you're tahor or not, or muteris to your husband or not. So for Rashi, it is pretty straightforward. If it's been within 7 days, that's just a continuation of your period. It has no effect. It's part of tumas nida. Between day 8 and 18 is mid-cycle bleeding. That makes you a zava. From day 19 and on, even though 19 is a pretty short period, let me say from day 19 and on is the next period, and then you're a nida. It should be pretty straightforward. The Rambam... And one example of that is, if, let's say she becomes a Zava Gedola, she's a Zava Gedola until she gets her Shiva Nekiyam. Once she gets her Shiva Nekiyam, assuming it's been more than 18 days, now the next time she bleeds, she's a Nida again. Okay, that's Rashi and the Rishonim. The Rambam is difficult, especially since the Rambam talks about a woman who is Koveya Veses, has a Veses Kavua. Okay. Now, we're going to get to that. As a matter of fact, that's the next simon, although there's a lot of lumdus before the next simon. I think the next simon starts with, like, most nashim at Veses Kavu. I'm not going to ask everyone to raise their hands. But if I did ask everyone to raise their hand in this room, one guy's single, right? Okay, if I asked everyone else to raise their hand in this room, and I said, like, you know, does your wife have a Veses Kavua? Obviously, I don't know what really happened. I know Baruch HaKodesh. I'm just talking statistically. And with the proviso that, you know, as you well know, 78.6% of all statistics are made up on the spot. But if I asked the six of you to raise your hand, does your wife have Veses Kavua or not? One of you would raise your hand and say, yeah, my wife has a Veses Kavua. She, you know, I don't need to look at the calendar. I know exactly what day it is in the, you know, the month because she got her period. And the other five would say, well, and one would probably say, no, it's sort of totally random. You never know Bechlau. And four, you would say, yeah, well, more or less. She gets her period around once a month or around once every 5 weeks or this. But, you know, you can't be so exact. Okay, but in the time of the Gemara, apparently, most of you would have raised your hand and say, clockwork, exact. But it doesn't matter. The Rambam talks a lot about having a Veses Kavua. But let's say you don't have a Veses Kavua for the Rambam, right? So we avoid some of those machlokas. The Rambam sounds like he has some scheme like this. Now, I know it's going to be difficult, and I know it's going to be against the Mishnayas of, you know, of how to be metake in your vestot, etc., if you remember those of the Toa. Doesn't matter. For the Rambam, it sounds like this. It sounds like, let's say a woman is 12 and she gets her period. Right? So, she gets her first period. Okay, now days 1 to 7 are nida. Okay, days 8 to 18 are potential for ziva. If she sees in days 8 to 18, that's potential for ziva. Now, what it sounds like for the Rambam is, what if she sees in days 19 to 25? Potential for nida. What if she sees in days 26 to 36? Potential for ziva. What about 37 to 43? Potential for nida. What about 44 to 54? Right? I'm still good because 54 is a multiple of 18, so I haven't messed up yet. Potential for ziva, and you understand how the pattern continues. Now, there's a lot of controversy exactly what he meant, etc. But he certainly meant something along the lines of this, and this is what it sounds like. In which case, what's the main difference between the Rambam and Rashi? And Rashi says, the time of ziva is the 11 days after Tumas Nida, after an actual period. For the Rambam, the time of ziva is the 11 days after when you could have become a Nida, whether you became a Nida or not. Right? So, like, what if she didn't become a Nida in these days? It doesn't matter. Those are your main Nida, the next 11 days are your main ziva. Of course, this Rambam then ends up seemingly crazy, because if a woman gets her period like a month later, then that would be a ziva, which doesn't seem to make sense, because ziva is supposed to be the abnormal time, not the normal time. So everyone tries to figure out exactly what's going on in the Rambam and touch with the Rambam and gets, you know, if you have a Vestas Kavua, it might get a little easier. Anyway, it's a big mess, the Rambam. I'm not going to pretend that I properly explained the Rambam to you now, but I have shown that the Rambam certainly appears to be very, very difficult. And that's the crux of the issue is, and maybe this wasn't so clear in the Beis Yosef, what does it mean the 11 days after Nida are days of potential Ziva? For Rashi, it's after 7 days of actual Tumas Nida. It means Ziva is only 8 to 18 days after your period. Again, when I say period, I mean Nida. You know, some doctor will say, it's not your period, I'm going to call it something else. It doesn't matter. It's like something that seems to be your period, you know, to the untrained eye. It doesn't actually matter. Again, I don't care if a woman says, my doctor says it's not my period. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. It matters what halacha category falls into. For the Rambam, when is Yemei Ziva? Yemei Ziva, the 11 days after the 7 days of potential Nida. I know, the first time you're an actual Nida. Not necessarily the days of Nida. So, for example, this is very clear in the Rambam. Say she got her first period, first time in her life, then on day 23 she gets her next period. Right? If on day 20, well, seems to be clear. If on day 20, most Achronim, she did day 23, she gets her period, and she bleeds 23, 24, 25. She also bleeds 26, that's Nida. Because it was after the days of potential Nida.
Could it just be that Rambam thinks that what Hashem prescribed it is. Like, there is a normal, even if that versus Kavua,
maybe. He makes it sound like a normal cycle is 19 days, but that seems strange.
Maybe it's not that there is a normal cycle of, like, each woman's biology, but rather just, like, this is going to be the Torah's monthly schedule.
Yeah, apparently.
You get the same bleeding, like, it's blood here, blood there, whatever. Yeah. This is going to be called Nida, this is called Ziva.
Yeah, look, ultimately, it's Xeris Akasov. It's just, you know, it needs work, the Rambam.
For both Rashi and Rambam, the Ziva follows the same
Yes, that's all the same. That's all the same. You know, and for example, for the Rambam, let's say she bled 3 days in Yemei Nida, she made Ziva, became a Zava Gedola, needed to get her Shiva Nekiyim. By the time she got her Shiva Nekiyim, she might be back in Yemei Ziva. Because, you know, let's say she bled on day 16, 17, 18. Zava Gedola, counts Shiva Nekiyim, which were her Yemei Nida. Now after that, she's back in Yemei Ziva. But again, Rashi would never say, because how can you be back in Yemei Ziva without becoming a Nida first? Okay. Clearly, one thing is very clear. For, and this is what all the Achronim point out. Again, I apologize for keep saying all the Achronim without us having seen any of them. For Rashi, it's pretty intuitive for a woman to know if she's a Nida or a Zava. I know the Torah discusses what mistakes you can make, but it's pretty intuitive to know if you're a Nida or a Zava. And that fits very nicely with the Mishnayos, which say if a woman lost track of whether she needs a Zava, you know, within a few days she could probably figure it out because she'll figure out where she is in her cycle, etc. For the Rambam, it can be very complicated to know if you're a Nida or a Zava, because even if we decide what pshat we have in the Rambam, we add a lot more to this board, it gets very complicated. You know, and as a matter of fact, when many are you might have to remember the count back to when you were 12 in order to know if you're a Nida or a Zava.
Or last time you had a kid, right?
Or last time you had a kid, correct. Having a kid is very useful. In addition to populating the world, which the Torah points out at the beginning of an answer, it also helps you figure out whether you're a Nida or a Zava for the Rambam. Good point. Yet another reason to have kids. Next time anyone asks you why Orthodox Jews have so many kids, keep in mind in most places nowadays having so many kids means like two. You'll tell them, okay, it helps us for the Rambam. No, because we don't pass that way. Okay, halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? I'm going to give out some makoros. Most year I'm not going to give out any makoros. But in this year, there's just a few things I want to do too. See? Elon, can I just give you for you and Sammy? Makar number Aleph here. First, the shach already says. Says the shach. Says the shach. Oh, okay. The shach on Dalet. No, the shach on our page. Zeo das Rambam val kori sigol of kol aposkin v'eskimu that she only becomes a nida after she finishes her ziva, and this is the key, ein yimei ziva ela b'yud aleph hasmuchin l'zayin sh'rata b'hem nidot. That's what I wrote for Rashi. They only become a ziva within the 11 days after the 7 days of actual tumas nida. Okay, and then he quotes all the Rishonim, so he seems to pass them against the Rambam. The Chassam Sofer here has the last word, historically. If you look at aleph, avol ma'esev yefshel la'asot ha'rama afilu sniff ba'alma b'ham milsa. Sniff means, I don't know if anyone learned halacha last year, previous years in smicha, certainly if you learn Isser V'Heter, you know, you see, how do you paskin Isser V'Heter? Usually like throw together like 8 machlokos and then like add them up and see if there's a kula or not. That's called a sniff. A sniff means like a partial heter, like a sheet that you can add to something as a little part of something that you can then rely on. It says the Rambam's not even a sniff b'alma, not l'kula, not l'chumra. The Rambam has no halachic weight, he's saying. Not even as like a partial additional halachic weight. Kishitaso dechuya, it's a rejected shita. It's not a minority shita, it's a rejected shita. Says the Chassam Sofer, the shita of the Rambam is, just doesn't count. Because none of the Gemara makes sense, proper sugya to Toa, Sof Perk Basimen, etc. Okay, you get the point. So what does he say? He says that until you can figure out how to answer up all the Gemara's according to the Rambam, it doesn't count at all. Halachalamai, so we assume the Rambam is not really relevant halachically, and we assume like all the other Rishonim, which makes a lot more common sense. Okay, now let us get to the halacha l'maisa. Who here knows how to take pictures with their phone? That shouldn't be hard. A single guy shouldn't admit he has a smartphone. You don't want to ruin your shidduchim. But a married guy, you know. By the time his kids get into shidduchim, no one will remember what a smartphone was, and it won't be a problem.
It turns out I think I forgot to bring it to shir.
Good. That's a step in the right direction. Okay, so Ellie, you're already married, right? So you don't have to worry. So you can admit you have a smartphone. Can you take a picture of the board, please? Okay, great. Excellent. Truth is, maybe we should restrict it to people who are planning to go back to America, because I don't know. You're on tape as having a smartphone, your kids won't get it to school. That was a joke. Anyway, okay. So now let's go to the halacha l'maisa. What? But you can wait till the next word if you want. So this is the din d'oraisa, right? According to this din d'oraisa, keep in mind, I know we all have our chassan class, just like what we do, right? We all know that we count Shimon and Kiyim every month, and if we don't know that, that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Once upon a time, in d'oraisa, that's not what they did. In the days of the Tannaim, that's not what they did. They, if it was a Nida, just 7 days, not Shimon and Kiyim. And only for Zava, which is very rare, would they ever have Shivan Akiyam, if it was a Zava Gedola, which is, it's rare to be any kind of Zava. And it's more rare to be a Zava Gedola. You know, it's, I don't, truth is, it's very rare that I ever, not that we use these halachas nowadays, but that anyone's ever told me, oh, they bled 3 days in a row between days 8 and 18 after the period, is pretty rare. So they usually, they rarely count the Shivan Akiyam. That was what they did once upon a time. Fascinatingly, we're not getting into this now, but it's not really halacha l'maisa right now, but I'll just point out something interesting. The Beis Yosef, towards the end of the siman, quotes the strange minhag that they had in some parts of Germany, that a woman would wait 14 days before going to the Mikveh every month. First count 7 days, and then count Shivan Akiyam. Wait 7 days, and then count Shivan Akiyam, and then go to the Mikveh. Why? They're trying to figure out, like, why would she ever do this? Why 7 days and then Shivan Akiyam? That doesn't match anything. Said, oh, well, it's a remembrance of the Doraisa. Me Doraisa, she waits 7 days. She's Tmeya for 7 days, having nothing to do with Akiyam. Me Darabanan, getting ahead of ourselves, you have to wait Shivan Akiyam. But that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So to remember the Doraisa, they wait 7 days to remember the Doraisa before counting Shivan Akiyam. Now, everyone says no one should follow this minhag. To the best of my knowledge, no one does follow this minhag nowadays anymore. This minhag has died. But, so why am I telling you this? Because you're never likely, even if you're a rabbi, to have to paskin to someone not to follow this minhag, because no one follows this minhag anyway by now. But he had some interesting things. He says, well, why do they have to remember what's the daraisa? So the answer is, because mehira yibana beis hamikdash, and then they'll have to keep the Doraisa, because it will be a mitzvah, the tovel, and the right zman mi Doraisa. So interesting, the Beis Yosef quotes here from the Rosh Ostreich, that when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, they'll have to keep the Doraisa. Why? Because when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, we'll have Paraduma, and we'll have full Tum of Atara, and when there's full Tum of Atara, he's assuming, we'll have to tovel in the day in which Doraisa we're supposed to. So they'll have to keep the Doraisa, so they kept their memory alive. Just an interesting question, what did he mean? Did he mean when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, we'll keep the Doraisa and also the Drabanan? Like, we'll be machmer both ways, so we'll, like, keep the Doraisa and Tovel at that time, but also be usher until the Drabanan time of Chomer Drabi Zera, which I assume you know what that is, even I haven't said this year, but what have you been doing all week? Or does he mean that, no, when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, we'll go back the Doraisa and take off the Drabanan's Lagamri? Fascinating question. What? That they would wait 7 days and then start counting Shivan Akiyam.
Wait 7 days from when?
From when they got their period. For 7 days, just sit around and do nothing. Then after 7 days, count Shivan Akiyam. And then after 14 days, go to the mikvah. 7 days of not counting and 7 days of Shivan Akiyam. So they asked, why would they wait 7 days before counting Shivan Akiyam? The answer is to remember the Doraisa of Anida being Tmeya for 7 days without Shivan Akiyam. Why do you have to remember the Doraisa? Because in days of the Samikdash, we'll need to do it. So it's not clear the Beis HaMikdash will need to do it, but also keep the Drabanan, or they'll revoke the Drabanan and go back to the Doraisa. Okay, Rabbi Willi told me he thinks in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, they'll revoke the Drabanan and go back to the Doraisa. So it could be when Mashiach comes, we'll go back to the Doraisa. So maybe Mashiach will come soon, and it'll be very important to know these things. But I'm not sure.
And practically, it's not necessarily any more days than it could be, right?
Most.
Meaning, if a woman has a 7-day period, then she waits here.
Yeah, but most women don't have a 7-day period. That's very rare.
That's very rare.
Very rare, yeah. Yeah, typical is 4 or 5. Okay, so anyway, now let's get back to the Takana, okay? What happened with Rebbe and what happened with Rabbi Zera? So, let's review exactly what happened. Without getting into the Taz Beis Yosef, exactly what every word in the Torah meant. Regardless of what every word in the Torah meant, we understand the idea behind it. So let's just go and figure out exactly what's going on. If I'll say it over my words and hopefully that will be clear enough. If a woman bled, it's takanas Rebbe besados. Rebbe made a takana in the sados. Okay, there's different yourselves. Most of you don't have sados. What are sados? Meaning the rural areas. Takanas Rebbe besados?
Yeah.
It was in the Beis Yosef. Well, the takana of Rebbe besados, and most Rishonim assume this, he only made this takana in the rural areas, meaning he didn't change the deraisa for the urban areas. What's the urban and rural? Okay, hope I'm not insulting anyone here. But in the urban areas, there was more Torah knowledge because people had more Torah education and they got the halachas down. In the rural areas, people were more, you know, what they call nowadays out of town, right? People were more ignorant of Torah, so there were more confusion. Okay, so the so what was the takana he made in Sados? So let's see. The what was the takana he made in Sados? So let's think about this for a moment. If a woman sees one day, 2 days, or 3 days, what would be the din? So let's see mida oraisa. What would be the din mida oraisa? So it depends. Is it nida or ziva? One day nida is tmeya for 7 days. Ziva is she needs shomeris yom, meaning one naki day, right? What if it was 2 days? Tmeya for 7 days.
Meaning another five, right?
Okay, fair enough. Tmeya for 7 days, meaning 2 plus 5, 1 plus 6, or Shomeris Yom, right? Need one nuki. What if it's 3 days? If it's Nida, Tmeya for 7 days, 3 plus another 4, or she would need Shiva Nuki. Okay, now, what was Rebbe's Chumra? Rebbe's Chumra, here is Takanas Rebbe Bisanos. Rebbe's Chumra was that if, right, seems to be, now, it's not 100% clear what was the reason for Rebbe's Chumra, but one possibility is they might get mixed up between the Yumei Nida and Yumei Ziva. According to the Rama, it's very easy to understand how you'd be mixed up Yumei Nida and Ziva. According to the other Rishonim, you'd have to be not so bright. But okay, so says Rebbe, let's see what Rebbe says. His Tmeya, 7 days, 1 plus 6. Why? Because maybe, why? Because he's always machmir. Basically, his chiddush was to be machmir for the worst possible day that it could be. Right? Because, what's the svara? Maybe it's Yumei Nida. Right? Okay. In this case, she is Tmeya. Let me say this better. Another 6 days. Why? Because maybe it's Yumei Nida. And then one clean day is not enough. She's Tmeya another 6 days. What about this case?
Another 6 days.
She's also Tmeya another 6 days. Why? Because maybe day two was the beginning of Nida.
And one was
Ziva. So what was one? So here there are two ways the Rishonim say of what could and what was day one. So here there are two pshatim, and the way the Taz and most people end up reading the Torah is that we pass like both problems. Why? Either because one was in Yumei Ziva, and maybe she lost track of what was Yumei Nida, what was Yumei Ziva, or, and this is what the Torah points out, something else happened. This is what Siman Kuf Pei Ches is about. What else happened? Mida Oraisa First of all, blood is only tame if it's red. Okay, we'll get back to black. Why? They dash from a pasuk that blood is only tame if it's red. Right? The Achronim assume if you invented a pill, the woman could take a pill and return all her menstrual blood blue, and she wouldn't be a Nida anymore. They haven't invented such a pill. It's harder than you think. But then, when it comes out of the Beis Hashanai,
exactly,
when it leaves the Mokar and goes into the Beis Achitza. Yes. Now, however, even that's not true. They darshaned from the Psukim that it's only four shades of red, not all shades of red. Only four shades of red. In Kuf Bechet, we'll get to what does the word red mean. Well, we know what the word red means. The Gemara obviously doesn't say red. The Gemara says other. Okay, what it means, etc. But only four shades of red. And what happened? In the days of, around the days of Rebbe, right? Meaning the Gemara quotes some people or Talmidim of Rebbe, so that's around the days of Rebbe. They, even the rabbis, lost their bakiyas as to exactly what was those four shades of red and what wasn't. They lost their Masorah. Kol Shekein, the Amoratzim, lost their Masorah. Right? So they lost their Masorah as to what was really red, what wasn't. What's the problem? The problem is, on day one, maybe she saw a color that wasn't really one of the reds. And she thought it was Nida, but it was really total Tahora. And only on day two her period started. Actually, not so crazy. Often, the beginning of a woman's period, she'll see a borderline color, and then it'll get really red. So, therefore, it's not so crazy. She thinks she bled for 2 days. She really only bled for 1 day, because yesterday was not red. Or was not one of the four shades of red. Right? Or, because one was a tahor color, what they call dam tahor. Nothing with dam tahor, that's a different concept we'll get to. Dam tahor means an innocent color. And don't say check what color it is, because we don't really know how to check the color. So anytime a woman bleeds 2 days, maybe the first day was not red, and only the second day was red, so then she has to count 7 days starting from the second day. So that's why she's 3 another 6 days. And what happens if she's 3 days? Then she needs Shiva Nekiyim. Why? Because what's the worst case scenario? Because maybe it's Yimei Ziva. Oh, she thinks it's not Yimei Ziva. Okay, but maybe she got confused. And you can see, by the way, all these confusions could also happen because we're not sure about the colors. Because think about it. Once we're not sure about the colors, anytime one bleeds and thinks she's Tamea, she might not really be Tamea. And then that would mess up the count next week and the week after. Right? So very easily, these all could be caused by just forgetting what day, not keeping track of her calendar, being stupid, excuse my bad language, or it could be caused by not knowing the colors. Because all these other things could also be caused by not knowing the colors. Like, just going to give you an example. Let's say a woman bled for 3 days. She thinks she's a Nida, and then, like, day 10 from then, she thinks she's a Meziva. But maybe really all those 3 days weren't really a real red, and it was really nothing. So day 10 is day Nida, because she never got her period yet, huh? So it's very easy to be confused. Or let's say she bled on day 10, and she thinks those 3 days are really a Nida. So day 10 is a Ziva. So if she then bleeds a week after that, that's Nida. But really, those 3 days were nothing, so they weren't really the right shade of red. And that was day 10 was really Nida, so a week from then is Ziva. So even the lack of knowing colors could lead to being confused about Nida and Ziva. So that's why Lemaisa, there are two. You can explain all of this based on just being stupid and forgetting what you need in Zeziva, or it could all be based on not knowing what's a real red, what isn't, and that could also lead to being confused about you may need in Zeziva.
Is it relevant how it's connected to Sotos, or is that just
a second? It might be relevant in a moment. Because it seems that at first, in the days of Rebbe, in the cities, they were on top of everything and they didn't need this because they were only in the Sotos. Okay, why that's significant, it actually might be, or might not.
Sodos is just a general term for like rural areas?
Yes. Sodos is rural areas.
All right, it seems like they were showing that even for 1 day and 2 days, the days that she has to count still have to be in the key.
Aha. So, now let me, that's a good, meaning, this is absolutely true, it's just a matter of how you express it. Isaac points out, when you bleed for 1 or 2 days, those 6 days have to be in the key. Why do those 6 days have to be Nekiyim? Because if she bleeds again during those 6 days, we're going to say, maybe those first days weren't really red, and now her Nida starts. So she's going to start all over again. So you could say she needs another 6 days in the Kiyam, or you could just say she needs another 6 days, and if she sees, it restarts the problem. Right? She needs another 6 days, so let's put a parentheses in the Kiyam. Why do I put the Kiyam in parentheses? Let me be clear, because it's not that she needs chalos of 6 days in the Kiyam. There is no chalos of 6 days in the Kiyam, but it's just that if she bleeds during those 6 days, we're going to say maybe that's the beginning of her period and require another 6 days. Because every time she bleeds, maybe that's the beginning of her period. So therefore, basically, halacha l'maaseh, what was Rabbi Machmir, every day you bleed might be the worst day possible. So anyone who bleeds for 1 day or 2 days, maybe that starts the shivas yemei nida. And if she bleeds 2 days, and then 4 days later bleeds again, maybe that starts shivas yemei nida. And if she bleeds 3 days in a row, then she's a zava gedola. That is Rebbe's takana. And again, why do the 6 days have to be naki? Not because they have to be naki, but because if they're not naki, you'll be choshesh that whatever she bled, maybe that's the first day of nida. That's Rebbe's takana in Sados. And according to this, basically, any woman who bleeds any amount of time, if she bleeds 1 or 2 days, she is tameah for another 6 days, and if she bleeds, she has to start again. And if she bleeds for 3 days, she's tameah for another 7 days, and if she bleeds, she has to start again. Right? Because during Shiva Nikiyam, if you bleed, you have to start all over again. So any of these days, you have to start all over again anytime you bleed. So it's pretty machir.
And if she bleeds for 3 days, why
Because mimadavshach, if she's a nida, she just has to wait 7 days, that's good enough. If she's a zava, she has to wait shivin akiyim. But why would you have to do both?
Well, we're not concerned that within the 7 day period that she might have been a nida, and then after that she'll be a zava? Because now we're canceling.
No, but even if you enter your meziva, if she doesn't bleed, then it doesn't hurt her.
She doesn't bleed when?
Let's say she's entering her meziva soon. But other than that, she doesn't bleed in the meziva, it doesn't affect her. It could be I'm not understanding your question. As a matter of fact, I'm confident that I'm not understanding your question. Okay. I'm also confident that, obviously, your question's wrong, but that doesn't mean it's not my responsibility to understand and explain why. This takana is written. Always have to be choshesh that everything is the worst possible thing, which means the first day of Nida, or if it's 3 days, it's Zava Gedola. Then there's something called Chumrat Rabbi Zeira. The Gemara says, that's not what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. What does it say in the Shulchan Aruch? Even if you see one drop of blood is obviously only 1 day, you have to keep Shiva Nikiyam. So what was Chumrat Rabbi Zeira? Now here it's interesting. Why is it called Chumrat Rabbi Zeira? Did Rabbi Zeira invent this Chumra? Who invented the Chumra? Amar Rabbi Zeira. I think it was in Bais Yosef here. Benos Yisrael hechmir al atzman. Shafilu rose. Tivas dam kechar dal yoshvos aleha shiva nekiyim. Rabbi Zeira didn't make this chumrah. He just reported it. Obviously, by reporting it, he also approved of it and canonized it. Right? Benos Yisrael have a minhag that they always wait shiva nekiyim. Minhag to always wait shiva nekiyim. And that minhag was canonized by Rabbi Zeira, and the Gemara even calls it a halacha psuka. Like, for example, anyone know what it says in the beginning of the fifth parak of Brachos? Come on, you were in elementary school more recently than I was. Ein omnin lispalel. El b'toch kovid rosh says in the Mishnah, good. And then in the Gemara, it says, mitoch halacha psuka. Right? Mitoch halacha psuka. You should learn a halacha psuka. An easy, a simple halacha. So what's the example of halacha psuka? Oh, but no, that you always wait shiva nekiyam. That's a halacha psuka, meaning we made it very complicated, but in the end, it's very simple. Whenever you bleed, no matter what, you wait, you need shiva nekiyam. It's pretty simple, right? So that's a halacha psuka, but the Gemara calls it a halacha. Okay? So what's Chumrat Rabbi Zeira? Chumrat Rabbi Zeira is that regardless, you always need shiva nekiyam. Shiva nekiyam. Shiva Nikiyim. Okay, very simple. That is the Chumra de Rabbi Zeira. Now, why would Rabbi Zeira make this Chumra? After all, it's impossible. No matter what mistakes you might have made or what you messed up, if you only bled for 1 day, you can't need Shiva Nikiyim. You can't be a Zabagadola if you bleed for 1 day. No matter what time of the month it is or what your halachic status is. If you bleed 2 days, you can't eat Shemini Kiyum. It's a din d'oraisa. Only if you bleed 3 days, you can eat Shemini Kiyum. So what was the svara of this Chumrah d'Rabbi Zeira? What? So if it's Nida, then you don't need Shemini Kiyum. You only need 7 days. Today plus six more. Right? But why do you need Shemini Kiyum? How does it still? If you only bled one day. But if you only bled one day, yeah.
And
what is that time? There are actually three answers in the Rishonim. Yosef only quotes one.
It's
Soter,
another.
Exactly. Says, says Beis Yosef, quoting the Rashi and the Ran and others, and the Ramban and others, says, there's one case where one drop of blood requires Shemini Kiyum. What's that case? What's called Soser. Soser, literally demolishing, right? If you're in the middle of Shemini Kiyum. Let's say a woman's in the middle of Shemini Kiyum and she bleeds once. What happens, sir? So here's a halacha you, if you don't know, now you learn. If a woman needs Shemini Kiyum and she bleeds once, she has to start all over again. Shemini Kiyum have to be 7 clean days in a row. She messes it up, she has to start all over again. So let's say a woman's she bled 3 days, and now she's in the middle of Shemini Kiyum. Now in the middle of Shemini Kiyum, she bleeds one tiny drop. Now she needs another Shemini Kiyum.
That's a weird question, but until now we haven't mentioned Shemini Kiyum, have we?
What do you mean?
Where do we mention Shemini Kiyum? Oh, from the Yemei Ziva. The whole concept of Shemini Kiyum is only legal.
Yes.
Ziva.
Yes. Okay. And so if she's... she doesn't know what day she's in. She might be confused, right? So, but even if she's confused, then why would she need Shemini Kiyum if she only bled 1 or 2 days? So let's just ask here, what's the svara? So says the Beis Yosef, quoting the Ran, I think, and Rashi, that it's to avoid the following confusion. If she had previously become a Zava Gedola by bleeding 3 days in Yemei Ziva, and now she's in the middle of her Shemini Kiyum, or even at the end of her Shemini Kiyum. Let's make it a very sad story, right? She bled for 3 days during her Meziva, poor lady, now she needs Shemini Kiyum. She's on the afternoon of the 7th day, bleeds one tiny drop. Now she needs another Shemini Kiyum. So in that case, one tiny drop required her to have Shemini Kiyum. So as a gzera for that case, we require her, and every time she has one tiny drop, she has to count Shemini Kiyum. Maybe that's the svara. The Rashi gives another svara in Megillah, and this is also found in some other Rishon. Yes, so give me this. So what's the svar? Yeah, you can say, what's the svar for the woman to do it? Or that's not just, what's the svar the rabbis approved of the woman doing this? Right? It would have to be some sort of gzera. So it could be gzera up to what we call soseris, or soteret. Or Rashi gives another pshat, which is a little very mechudish, says, maybe, even if she's one drop of blood, maybe really a drop came out 2 days ago and a drop came out yesterday and she didn't notice. So therefore, maybe she's a Zava Gedola. What?
Doesn't it not take effect unless you notice? It has to be
maybe she had a hargasha and she forgot.
She forgot it from yesterday?
It's a little far out.
Well, that's a hard to kind of say. She forgot from yesterday and the day before, both days.
Okay, it's a little hard to say.
And this logic goes even further. A woman should always be in Nida every single day.
Correct. Obviously, what you have to say, yes, correct. This is a little dachet. Rashi does say it, as both Shatim in Megillah, Daf Chaf Hey, if I'm not mistaken. You have to say that they were just looking for an excuse to simplify things. The Ravid says, there are some books we're going to have to learn about that we'll see a lot. One of the biggest, hopefully, some of the Rishonim that are quoted, we know what they are, right? If you don't know what, for example, Rashi and Tosos and the Rambam are, then you should reconsider your participation in this Smicha program. But then, there are always sperm from the Rishonim and the Akronim, of course, that are specific to one area of halacha we might not have heard of. One of the most important sperm in Hilchas Nida is the Baalei HaNefesh. Baalei HaNefesh is a book by the Ravid about Hilchas Nida. Okay, there's also a little bit about philosophy, about the various philosophical ideas of Nutashmish, etc., but it's mostly Baalei HaNefesh is about Hilchas Nida. And that's one of the basic books, only in Hilchas Nida, obviously. Another very basic book, this is very fascinating, some historian will have to tell me why. You know the Balamor? Mm-hmm. To the best of my knowledge, the book Balamor is never quoted in the Beis Yosef. Like, it's just not part of the halachic history.
How with Balmar?
The Balmar. Rav Zerachya Halevi. However, Rav Zerachya Halevi also wrote Hasagos on the Braivet Bali and Nefesh. And those are quoted all the time by the Poskim here and are considered at least as authoritative as the Raivet himself. So the maybe most important, you know some of the Rishonim. You all know the Chidushim on Shas, that there's a Ritva, you know, there's a Ran in the back of the Gemara on the Rif. You know, there's a Rashi and Tosos and a Rambam and a Rush in the back of the Gemara. But what what the new Sfarim we'll see here are mostly going to be four Rishonim. There's the Bali and Nefesh of the Raivet. There is the Razal, Rav Zerachya Halevi, the Balamor is Hasagos on the Bali and Nefesh. There is Hilchos Nida, the Ramban. Ramban wrote a book, Hilchos Nida. Besides this, Perush and Maseches Nida. In the ones with footnotes, they put Hilchos Nida in the back. Even the ones without footnotes, like the modern Rambans, they just put Hilchos Nida in the back of the Ramban on Nida, just for convenience. And this is something you would have seen if you did this for Heter last year. Torah Sabayis. The Rashba's Torah Sabayis, mostly about Kashrus and also about Hilchos Nida. So those are the books we'll see quoted in Beis Yosef. Okay, in addition to the ones that talk about all areas of halacha, you know, I'm sure there'll be others that we haven't heard of yet that we'll see. But mostly it'll be the famous ones from the back of the Gemara, and the Rambam, and the Rashi and Tosfos, etc., and these four books. Okay, now, what did the Raivet say in the Balei Nefesh? He says probably the Pashut Pshat. They just wanted to simplify things. If it was 3 days, it would be Shiva Nekiyim. If it was 1 or 2 days, less than Shiva Nekiyim. Okay, that's also confusing for people, but it's better to just have a simple rule. Therefore, since for 3 days you need Shiva Nekiyim, they decided for 1 or 2 days you also need Shiva Nekiyim. Not because of any of these fancy svaras that Rashi and the other Rishonim said, just to simplify things so that you wouldn't have to tell every woman, well, it depends if it was 1 or 2 days or 3 days. This way, just tell them Shiva Nekiyim and it's much simpler. Okay, that's the Raivet's Pshat. Regardless of what the Pshat is, that is the halacha is Chumra de Rabbi Zera. Okay. Now, let's look at these makoros for a moment.
Was there any historical backlash from the men?
Apparently not. Apparently, it's funny because certainly our stereotypes idea, you might say the men are not happy with the women being so machmir. After all, they want their tashmish. And it's a big chumra, especially compared to the Doraisa. Compared to Rebbe in the Sados, it wasn't a big chumra. But compared to the Doraisa, it's a big chumra. A normal woman would only be tamei 7 days every month. Now, if she bleeds 5 days, she's tamei 12 days every month because she needs Shiva Nekiyim. We have no historical record of a backlash. Until I started teaching at Grist. So let us get into halacha and politics.
Okay, so part of the reason that it's like referred to as the women's chumrah is because the men could not have created this chumrah; it had to come from the women themselves because it's their like.
Because it's their heart, their inyan, right?
Or it's like their right, like.
It could very well be. It's their inyan, right? Nida chalav lakas aner is their responsibility, right?
So you can't be mafmi on her account.
That's what you're saying. You're saying the man has mitzvahs own and the woman doesn't. So maybe the could very well be.
I think you're talking about all men in Christ are forcing their wives to do something. You might be talking about a different religion.
Right. Okay. Now, here's the big question. The question is, how do you treat this Chumrat Rabbi Zeira? Is Chumrat Rabbi Zeira a minhag or is it a din? Right? Good question. On the one hand, you can say it's a minhag. It's what women did. It's not a din. It's a minhag. Really, the din is Doraisa, and it's only a minhag. And that is the opinion of the Shut Galya Maseches. If you look in Beis here, to the best of my knowledge, this only once in my life did I ever see anyone quote anything besides this from the entire Shut Galya Maseches. But I've seen this quoted 100 times. I'm not sure who David of Nevardik was. Obviously, he's a bigger Talmud Chacham than all of us put together. But in the Shut Galya Maseches, he says, "Me'ata asur na la'ayim b'inyan chumrat Rabbi Zeira shemavur to l'nasmi tikanus chachamim." It's not a din. It's not a takan. It's not a gzeira. Ela shebenos yisraelach mir me'atzmon bazev. Lona says as tikanus vad chazal. This is not a legislation of the chachamim. This is only a minhag of the people. Uvi Yosef Rav Shem Asugi the Chumer Daimin Hagelon is Pashma Chalam Akomos Ela Da Achmar Achmar Vehegel Achmar Lo Achmir. Okay, this is controversial. He says it seems the Sugi is only some places that this minhag, not all places. Not so pashut. Ulafika, what does he conclude? Roy Lomer Bepshitas Al Inyan Chumer Zera De Bekal Niftarin Heimena. You can easily get rid of Chumer Dvar Zera. Whenever there's any reason to be makel, yesh lahakel, kamavur, tosevus bracha, tosos bracha, sanal, it's not about chumra d'rizera, not something else. Right? He says, it's only a minhag. You know how it is with minhagim. Obviously, we keep minhagim, none of us are reformed. But a minhag is not a din. If it's a shasa b'chak, or if it's a reason to makel, or then you're compromising minhagim. Says the Shugali Maseches, a radical idea. He says, you can compromise him and hug him if you need to. Based on this, the Kuntrasei Shiurim and Maseches Kiddushin. Anyone have heard of Rav Gustman?
Yes, sure.
Right? Rav Gustman. Okay, I could tell you how great Rav Gustman was now, but we'll save that for another time because the hour is getting late. Rav Gustman, the Kuntrasei Shiurim and Kiddushin, came up with a Psak Halacha L'Maisa. What is the problem? The problem is this. A woman has a monthly cycle. Generally, okay, there's a certain part of the monthly cycle of a woman when she's able to get pregnant. A woman's not able to get pregnant 30 days a month. She's only able to get pregnant, I don't know, 2 or 3 days a month, you know, approximately. How do you tell when those 2 or 3 days are? No, it's not so poshut. It's not so pashut, but l'mafrei it's easier, because it's usually about 2 weeks before her next period. Now, let's think about this for a moment. Let's say her period is, she is a short period, right? It's 24 days. So, if it's 24 days, and let's say she ovulates, ovulates means produces an egg, which means she can get pregnant, about 14 days before her next period, so she'll ovulate like 10 days after her period. Hold on. First, she has to wait for her period to end, and then comes Shiva Nikiyam. She goes to the mikvah 12 days after her period. She ovulates 10 days after her period and goes to the mikvah 12 days after her period. She is never going to get pregnant. And she will have religious infertility, meaning she might be perfectly healthy, but her religion will prevent her from getting pregnant. Now, Mida Araisa, that would never really have happened, because you would go to the mikvah 7 days afterwards. And, you know, it's no one would ever get messed up to Raisa with that. Okay, well, we made this Chumer Dvar Zera, maybe they didn't know all this biology. And now a woman can get messed up. If a woman has a short cycle, she might always go to the mikvah when it's too late to get pregnant, and she'll never have kids. She'll die without kids. So what do you do in that case? So said Rav Gustman in the Kuntrasei Shiurim, he said, well, look in the Galyon Maseches. He says it's only a minhag, and we can compromise the minhag if we need to. So I'm not going to compromise the minhag just because someone says, you know, I'm interested in being mekel. But over here, Puruvu is the biggest mitzvah in the Torah, it says. You know, this is very, very important. You know, obviously, it's a big deal. So in this case, what would he tell this woman? He'd tell this woman, don't get chumer d'rav zera. Just go back to Daraisa. And here's where, hold on. Even if she doesn't keep chumer d'rav zera, doesn't she have to keep the takan of Rebbe? No, because that was only in the Sados, and she lives in a city. All the people asked Rav Gustman questions lived in cities, right? Very few Orthodox Jews live in rural areas anymore. So, Takanas Rebbe doesn't apply. Chumer Dvar Zera is only minhag. Paskin Rav Gustman, I have a cousin who says, who would be mad at me. He didn't paskin, he suggested. It seems to be that he paskin. He suggests, what is this poor woman supposed to do? She should never have kids her whole life? Nah, so she should not keep Chumer Dvar Zera, just keep it Daraisa till she has kids, and when she finishes having kids, she should go back to Chumer Dvar Zera. That is the Psak of Gustman based on the Galyon Maseches. Rav Shlomo Zalman famously dealt with this. He had a famous article, which was later published in the Shutman for Shlomo Chelik Beis, where he came out against this. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Beis, their period lasts 5 or 6 days. They need to meaning now that we don't pass like the Rambam, Nimsan Ridina Doraisim Larasa Yosme Heo Vav Yami Cholashap Lahavsevatar Yom Zayin Vilipo Vilel Cheslin Yedusa Imla Achashe Tara Mevesa Kodim Over La Yudolf Yom Nikim Shlarasa Behem Dam Kavich Kam Achshel Larasa Yosme Zayin Yom Rak Nidav Lozava. Okay, Mavur after Rambam, etc. So what does he say? He says maybe we should do like Rav Gusman suggested based on the Galim Aseches. We don't pass like the Rambam. He already got rid of the Rambam. So he says, and even the Rambam, who knows, maybe she has a Veses that's different, Kavua. He says, as long as more than 18 days pass since her last period, she's not a Zov anymore, she's a Nida Doraisa. And if she bleeds for less than 7 days, that's only Nida Doraisa, let her just wait 7 days, go to the Mikvah without counting Shiva Nikiyam. Let her go back to Doraisa and not keep the Chomer Gerbi Zera, and then she can have kids, and that's the solution. Adds Rosh Shlomo Zalman, Ach Kevin the Masha Amr of Zera, B'nos Shalach Mir La'atzman, Shafila Rose, Tipos Dam Kechardel, Yosef Salah Zayin Nikiyam. Amr Allah B'gmar Brachas Laman Aleph Laman Aleph that I quoted earlier. She Alocha Psuka. Since the Gemara called Alocha Psuka, Pashru Di Efsher Klal LaHakel Gamba Mokam Tzar Gadol. You can't be makel against Chumad Rav Zeira, even in a terrible tzar of not having kids. It's not just the tzar. It's not just she said she doesn't have kids. Also against the Torah to not have kids. V'shevish Yama Yisrael Yevus Bunch. It's chayiv Afil Mabshir Shashul Tzusi Shem Badly. Even if you're afraid they'll get divorced. And it's a problem shalom bias. He after klal lahaka lavra lacha psuka zu mikoach v'muchach badim is that the kanos b'zeir chamurim ba'olud v'lom rina basav gerot lekula etc. Okay, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Rav Shlomo Zalman says he's absolutely sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is not a minhag that you can compromise. Sometimes this is a full iser drabanan, and he says you're never allowed to violate an iser drabanan even in drastic circumstances. You know, short of pikuach nefesh. Because it's a din, not a minhag, it's a din. So here, this is the basic machlokas. The conversation Yerim says, based on the Galim Maseches, it's a minhag, and therefore you can compromise. Rav Shlomo Zalman says it's not a minhag, it is a din. And therefore there's no room to compromise. What did he suggest in this case? Okay, he suggests a whole fancy thing, which maybe we'll get to a little later, which was not so practical. And in the end, he did not have a solution to this problem. What can you do nowadays? Nowadays, meaning after the time of Gusman, after the time of Shlomo Zalman, nowadays there are ways to solve this problem because you can give artificial hormones and change the woman's cycle. I'm not saying it's a lot of fun to do that, meaning, you know, it's a medical treatment. You know, it's a pain. It's a real pain, but there are ways to solve this problem. Okay, I just want to point out one second that Rav Moshe Feinstein's opinion about this was very fascinating. If you look at the bottom of the page, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, he says, "V'hinei davar isha shel fidiver rofen mumchen himuchsher lekabel hirayon rak biyom hashmini biyom hatshiyi me'atcholas vesta." She can only get pregnant on day 8 and 9 for a period where she'll still be within Shiva Nikiyam, right? Although midaraisa she would have been after mikvah. The Kasav quotes Rosso Harama said, "Vards lifa zera baal bina yishmatir nachu yuzayin king kodu vesav teis b'sov exov echarzai yom eschalz vesav etzera etcetera etcetera." Okay, here's another suggestion: do artificial insemination, right? Okay, but what does he say in the end? He says in the middle of the fourth line, "Dina minidu derek tashmish." Forget the artificial insemination, right? The meaning lemaisa couples would rather do. So play around with hormones and change her cycle into artificials and be able to get pregnant naturally than artificial insemination mostly. But he says, how about if there are times where the hatzol prove we lost the doraisa? How about just doing the doraisa? The local chomer doraisa? Can we just forget chomer doraisa? She yoshes zayin nikiyim. Ashish mokum lodem azeh. Very fascinating lashon. Says, yeah, there's what to talk about. Become mokum lemaisa ain lahatzol. Lemaisa, you shouldn't be matter. The aim is only the davar brzeli the aksav. I don't want to write about this. Rakim yazr shemes rosh is right upon the davar brzeli bureau davar lemaisa. If we meet in person, we'll discuss this. Not lemaisa, just to clarify it. Rav Moshe's shita is a little unclear here. It says aim lahatir. There's lots to discuss, but I don't want to write it. The Torah shemal pef. The talmid of Rav Moshe is that Rav Moshe's shita was you can't say that you're matir this because it'll be a pirtza. And all this, once you matir tumir zera once, everyone will start wanting to be matir legamre and make a pirtza in the halacha. If it was Baal Peh and he saw one case, maybe he would be Mekel. That's the Torah Baal Peh said. He would be Mekel in a very quiet way. He just didn't want to write it.
That's like basically writing it.
Yeah, plausible deniability. Anyway, and right now, like we're not sure what he held. He was clearly being mysterious. like many of the things you're being serious about, right? Turning of stoves, Shabbos Yontem, etc. There are a few things, Rav Moshe, that the Talmidim say he was Mekel, and he's mysterious about it, Betzav. Sorry, when I said turn of stoves and Shabbos and Yontif, even he wasn't Mekel on Shabbos, but they say he was Mekel on Yontif, because he thought it was Mutar on Shabbos. But anyway, Lemaisa, it seems either Moshe was somewhere in the middle, where he would have been Mekel, or there's what to talk about to be Mekel if you're really stuck, but, you know, you have to be very, very careful not to make a pirza. Just give me a second. So let's just summarize. There are three opinions about Chumrah Dvar Zera. One is, Rav Gosman Mason Galia Maseches says, it's a minhag, and a minhag you can compromise for an important reason like Puruvu. Second is from Zalman, it's an absolute din d'rabanan. It's like Yontif Sheni. You can't be Mekel on Yontif Sheni even for an emergency, right? Guy says, oh, I'm getting big trouble if I can't work on Yontif Sheni. Too bad. I'm not going to do Puruvu if I can't work on Yontif Sheni. I'm going to lose my Shalom Bais if I can't work on Yontif Sheni. No Matel, you can go to work on Yontif Sheni, right? That's a din. It's not just a minhag. Right? Guy says, if I can't have chicken and milk, then I'm going to be in big trouble. Okay, well, that's life. You know, I call it something clever. You know, so that's Rosh Hashanah. Moshe is somewhere in the middle where he's not willing to make a pirtza, but, you know, on a case-by-case basis, you know, you could talk to him and see what he says. Halacha l'maisa, I think the minhag of many people was like Moshe. You know, that, you know, there was usher, but there's not talking on a case-by-case basis, although by nowadays, the minhag of most mainstream post-skim is just be machmir across the board and try to come up with another solution because there's other solutions out there. Okay, that's the halacha. But this is a very, very important machlokas. You know, but what if there was no, what if for some reason, okay, I'm on tape now, right? So what would I say for some motion? What if for some reason there was no other solution whatsoever? The only way people can have kids is to not keep Chumrah Dvar Zera, and there's no choice at all. What would you do? So you would have to say on whyyoutorah.org that you can't be mater, and if a real case like that comes up, we'll talk about it. Okay, but lemaisa nowadays, I've never seen posts can be makel on this because there's always some way you can figure out to solve your problem nowadays. Now, here is...
You said the thing, most people hold like Ramoshi's going to be in, not...
Yeah. Here is, you should know about this, it's a big thing nowadays, it's a big politics nowadays. There was, there's a guy named Rosnack. I think that's his name. Am I right? He's a doctor in Yerushalayim. He's a doctor in Yerushalayim, I think that's his name. If not, I apologize to Rosnack. he's a doctor in Yerushalayim who, you know, also knows a little Torah, who decided that you have to get rid of Chumrah Dvar Zera. It started with there are these women who had trouble getting pregnant, their cycle was short, and then the rabbis told him, oh, well, now we have a solution. We don't need to get into this issue because just, like, use hormones to manipulate. And he's like, no, but I'm one of those, you know, those, like, anti-vaxxer type people who are always against hormones? But there are people who are like against anything that's not natural. So he says, can't do that. That's against my principles. Therefore, we just have to be Mekel. And he says, and in general, we have to be Mekel because it's hard for people nowadays. And, you know, why should people be usher so much? And why should the rabbis always be so strict? And why can't everything be mutter? And, you know, all the other tainas that we're familiar with. So he decided that from now on, you don't need Shimon Akiyam anymore. This Chumrah Dvar Zera was only a minhag, and the minhag was only in the old days when people were ignorant before women were educated. Nowadays, our educated women, what do you think? They'll be confused about things, etc. So he decided to be mater. He wasn't a rabbi, but he decided to be mater the Chumrah Dvar Zera across the board. In the end, he published a sefer about it, about how great it was. And at the beginning of the sefer, he says, instead of haskamos from big rabbis, or medium rabbis, or whatever, I have something better. Letters from my patients about how happy they are after I was master of the Chumrah Dvar Zera for them. How much it improved their lives. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. That's not my department. I'm not a psychologist. But you should know that, you know, there's a certain segment of the community where this is very much caught on, and there are people who are very into this. Again, not the kind of people who, you know, are super machmed about a lot of things, but, you know, people who wouldn't want to be chayiv karis. Now, maybe sometimes they end up being chayiv karis anyway, I don't know, meaning you do end up with this problem that, you know, as educated as they are, let's say they're so educated, they're not going to lose track of what day they are. Let's say the Rambam's wrong, so it's easy to keep track of what day they are. I'm comfortable. Sam Sofer says don't worry about the Rambam. But you do actually have this problem. What if they counted the first of the day of Nida some color that was not really the red that Chazal talked about? It was some borderline reddish color. So did he tell them all, well, check to make sure it's the most classic red color that you always see before you start counting your 7 days to avoid this problem? I don't think so. I think he just hopes that they won't be five cars. Anyway, you should know this is a thing going on in the world nowadays. It's a big shaila among the rabbis and other people. I'll tell you an interesting thing that has to do with something else in this sif. My wife answers on the Yotzot Halacha hotline of Nishmat, and I hope this is not a secret of their policy. Sometimes a woman will call the hotline, the anonymous hotline, and say, I follow the shita of, I really hope I got the guy's name right, or else I'm telling Lashon Hara about some innocent fellow who's, you know, who's a big Yirei Shemayim, whose name just starts the same letter as someone else. But says, I follow this in the shita, so what's the halacha in this case? So what do you do, right? Normally, you know, if someone calls you and say, I follow Rav Avadya Yosef, so what should I do in this case, even though I'm Ashkenazi? No, I could tell them, you know, I think it would be a polite thing to answer according to their shita, right? A very reasonable thing, right? Someone would call me and say, I only eat badatz eid charedis, and then someone put whatever in my oven. I would try to answer according to their shita. So what about this one? It says, I follow this shita. So what do you do? Because if you answer their question, then it's almost like approving of something which is not an orthodox way of practicing Judaism. So I'm pretty sure that their policy is that if someone asks you that question, you have to say, I'm sorry, I don't answer questions about that shita. Maybe you should call the Baal HaShita. But I can't answer questions according to that shita. Now, again, not putting people in favor. If the question has nothing to do with that, you know, they happen to mention by accident they followed that shita and the question was irrelevant to that, then she'll answer. She's not going to, you know, put someone in chayram just for being misled. But I think that's a good mahalach that, you know, look, we're not, we don't have to go stone people who follow that shita or even who teach that shita. You know, we can live b'darchei Noam. But the, you know, we can't make it out as if that's a legitimate orthodox approach, because even if you want to say the Galia Maseches might be a legitimate orthodox approach, you know, if someone wanted to stretch it and say, in a big Shas Adchak, on a one-time basis, there's room to be making in very rare circumstances like the Galia Maseches and the Kunshli Shiurim, I would say, okay, yeah, you have to use your judgment. I'm not sure I would use that judgment, but that's within the realm of normal halacha. But the, you know, this shita is not within the realm of orthodox halacha. So it's important to be aware of what's going on out there in the world.
Even if you hold this as a real din, like the Mikdash was saying, how can you say that even Sfeikut Rabbanan Lahaka we're not going to say?
Okay, so that is, I didn't want to get into that, although I gave you this to Nima Ayin at home, because he backtracks a little further on. It's because there are certain drabbanans that are maybe even a little more chummer, and we don't even say safed lekula in all cases. Although in the end, he backtracks from that a little, and it's not clear that he's committed to that. But there are certain very chummer drabbanans when we might not say safed lekula. Ayin in the kolish fake sveika of the shach when he talks about gvinas akum. Okay, but I'm not going to get into that now. Halacha Maaseh Esrei Willig once, he said, it should be exactly the same chomer as any other din drabbanan. Not more chomer, not less chomer. That's what Willig told me. Should treat it with the same chomer as chicken and milk. Not more chomer than chicken and milk, and not less chomer than chicken and milk, which is a little more make a lot, or someone's on one's treat as more chomer than chicken and milk. Willig said, no, it's exactly the same as any other din drabbanan. The only problem is that, you know, I don't think anyone would have the chutzpah of matar chicken and milk. It got rid of both homers to the census. We don't live in Sudos. Rebbe doesn't apply only Rebbe Zeira. That's why it's important that Rebbe was in Sudos, because otherwise you're going to say, who cares if Rebbe Zeira is just a minhag? Rebbe's a din. Yeah. No, but that's only for Sudos. We're not in Sudos. That's how he gets rid of both of them. Okay, Viter. Now, I just want to point out one other thing. Once we're talking about strange people,
we mentioned other opinions of Shmuel Zalman and Moshe, that was both about Rebbe and Rebbe Zeira.
He was talking about Rebbe Zeira, but once you have Rebbe Zeira, then you don't need Rebbe anymore. I mean, if you keep coming to Rebbe Zeira, that is more than Takanas Rebbe.
Yeah, but I agree with his logic about Rebbe.
I don't know. He doesn't discuss it, because it's no nafkamina. Once you have to keep coming to Rebbe Zeira, there's no nafkamina whether Takanas Rebbe applies to you or not, so I'm not sure. Now, one other issue that's important is the end of this. The ain chiluk bein pnuya l'nesua l'inyan iser nida ki kol abala nida chayiv kares. He quotes this from Shut Rivash, the Ramah, at the end. Because, often we talk about taras ha-mishpacha and how, important it is for family life. So someone might say, so then if it's not a mishpacha, if I'm just sleeping with my girlfriend, I know I shouldn't, but it makes no difference if it's a nida or not, right? The Rivash says, no. Taras ha-mishpacha is nice. A Tommy Mitzvos, philosophy, but the halacha is that a nida, doesn't matter if she's married or not. And even though the Torah Shlomo points out, Rabbi Meir says in Maseches Nida, why did the Torah say nida is to be married for 7 days? Why did the Torah say a nida is forbidden to her husband, is asura for 7 days? Because a man and woman might be married a long time and he'll lose interest in her. But if she's forbidden for 7 days, then all of a sudden he'll be interested again because everyone wants something they can't have. And it'll reignite the spark and it'll give them marital harmony. Okay, psychologically that seems to be agreed upon by all psychologists. So maybe only married people have an Isser Nida after all. If you're not married, then the Torah doesn't want to reignite any sparks. So in the end, what does his son conclude in the Torah Shlomo? That's a drush. You don't paskin based on a drush. I mean, all these things are nice. I mean by nice, they're not true. They're true, but all Tamei Mitzvos we give are only part of the Tamei Mitzvos. Whenever we give Tamei Mitzvos, that's like part of the story. There's also other parts of the story that we don't necessarily grasp at this moment. Halach l'maisa nida is the same whether single or whether married. And therefore, if someone sleeps with a nida, even if it has nothing to do with marriage, even if she's not married to him, she's not married to anyone else, just some single people, then they're chayiv kares, and it's a big aveira. Yes?
Because this is in the Ramah, does that mean this is just
No. The Ramah, when the Ramah says something stam, he usually means it for Ashkenazim and Sephardim. As a matter of fact, you might notice this if you pay attention. Often, when the Beis Yosef is mechadish something on his own svara, 99% of the time, he won't write in the Shulchan Aruch. Because if it's his own svara, he was too modest, meaning he obviously knew he was doing important things. He wasn't so modest that he stayed home and did nothing. He says, my own chidushim, I'm not going to write in the Shulchan Aruch. But the Ramah does. So often, if the Beis Yosef said something on his own, the Mechaber won't write in the Shulchan Aruch, but the Ramah will. Even though he doesn't mean for Ashkenazim. He just means, like, I don't have to be modest about you. I only have to be modest about me, right? Only when he says, V'yesh Noagin, or, V'yesh Omrim, etc., then it's for Ashkenazim. So here it's for everyone. Now, why is this Rivash interesting? Not much of a Chiddush for us, and especially not much of an Afkamina, because since people are not married, shouldn't be sleeping together anyway. So it's useful to know that if she's a Nida, it's Chayiv Karis. And if she's not a Nida, it's not Chayiv Karis. But either way, they shouldn't be doing it. Right? So the end of the Rivash is fascinating. The end of the Rivash, which is not quoted here, in the Ramah says, so why didn't they tell all the Pnuyos to go to Mikvah? Because to avoid this Isser Karis. And what's the answer? The answer should be obvious. You didn't need to be the Rivash to answer this. He happened to be. Because if you tell the Pnuyos to go to Mikvah, it'll lead to a Michshol, then they'll think they can sleep with their boyfriend, when really it's still Usser, just not Chayiv Karis. And here, it's not exactly clear in the Lashon Rivash what he means. The Lashon Rivash is not 100% clear what he means. Does he mean that they didn't suggest the Pnuyos to go to Mikvah, or that they told them Davka not to go to Mikvah? The Rivash is not so clear, but the modern-day poskim assume, and here, I'm not sure if that's what the Rivash meant, but the modern-day poskim assume it's not just that we don't tell them to go to mikvah. We tell them not to go to mikvah. We forbid pnuyos from going to mikvah. Based on this, we bust that it would be a mikshol to them. They'll think they can do znus. You're right, znus is better than chayv kares, but not okay. And that is the halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, we assume that it is forbidden for pnuyos to go to mikvah because it'll lead to a mikshol that they will come to think, since now it's only a smaller avera, they can sleep around and do znus. Which is why often you hear stories in like Haredi Lumi circles of kalas going up to Har Habayis the morning before their wedding. Why do the kalas always go to Har Habayis the morning before their wedding? It's not because, well, they want to be really holy for their wedding and going up to Har Habayis. It's because Anita's not allowed to go to Har Habayis. So for a girl to go to Har Habayis, she has to count Shiva Nekiyim and Tov will not be Anita. But if she's a Pnuya, then she's not allowed to because of the Achronim based on this Rivash. Oh, but she's allowed to the day before her wedding, right? She's getting married. That's why you hear a lot of Kalas, they go up. Even like one of the Sarot or Chavrot Knesset recently, like a few years ago she got married. I think she was like a Sar or something. And there are pictures of her, before her wedding going up to Har Habayis, which is always, you know, more politically loaded if it's a minister. Or a deputy minister, or whatever she was. So that's why they go up before their wedding, because they're not allowed to tovel until then, because of the achronim based on this rivash. And even though they're very firm people who, if they told them to go to Har Habayis, they chas v'shalom wouldn't sleep around or do this or anything, but it's a general gzera. We assume the achronim say based on the rivash, it's a general gzera that pnuyos can't go to mikvah because it will lead to a mikshal. Because it'll lead to a mechshol, because then they'll think that it's okay. Halacha lemaisa, nowadays in some circles, there are, you might be aware, as rabbis, you have to be aware of certain things. Okay, one of the things I'm going to tell you now, I hope you won't be too upset, is that if you're going to be a rabbi, you should know, not all Orthodox Jews always follow all the halacha and do the right thing. They sometimes do averus. In Orthodox circles, sometimes, I'm not talking about people who stop being from them, and they do whatever they want, and that's, you know, and nothing to do with us. But there are people who are single, and whatever reason, it's a her or whatever, you know, without judging, just facts, they want to engage in znus. But they don't want to be chayav kares. So what do? So, meaning they're still Orthodox people, they're like, you know, they're Orthodox people who are like, you know, I don't want to be chayv kares, but like if I do some small averus, I'll compromise a little, but I don't want to do big averus. Okay, that didn't do big averus. So what do? So they want to count Shiva Nekiyim and go to the mikvah and then sleep with their boyfriends. On the one hand, it makes sense for them to be doing a smaller avera better than a big avera, but because of the achronim based on the Shit Rivash, we say, nope, the policy of the mikveh is that single women are not allowed to tovel in the mikveh. Because it'll lead to a mechshol. And even the one says, what do you mean? I'm going to do it anyway. It'll just save me from kares. Okay, you're right. For you, if you're going to do it anyway and we're going to save you from kares, it might make sense for you to tovel. But as a policy for the klal, we can't start letting single girls go to mikveh because then it'll lead to someone who wouldn't have done znos doing znos. And that is the policy, a single girl can't go to mikvah. Someone told me once that a single girl once asked for Schechter, like, if she's going to sleep with her boyfriend anyway, should she go to mikvah to do a lesser avera? Says, yeah, better do a small avera than a big avera. Says, well, should I tell the mikvah they should let me in? Says, no, the mikvah can't let you in. She says, well, what if I put on a wedding band and pretend to be married? Like, okay, great, then the mikvah didn't let a single girl in and you told. So the single girl asked me, I'll say better do no averus, better do a small one than a big one, but nonetheless, the mikvah shouldn't let her in if she admits she's single. Again, if she doesn't admit she's single, then we should let her in just because it's not nice to start interrogating people. It's just like, unpleasant. Lamaisa, we don't let single girls tovel in the mikvah, because of this, not the part that's quoted here, of this shut rivash. So it'll be a mechshol. For sure. Like, it's basically like saying, like, okay to do znus as long as you tovel.
You think it's that it'll lead to a mechshol, or that just our...
I think both.
I think both.
One, practically, it'll lead to a michshal, because then all our friends will hear about it and they'll say, oh, so it's really not so bad to do as no, so long as you go to the mikvah first, and then we'll do aviros. And B, it's just a matter of principle, as you point out. Right? This, that, Kedus Yitzchak, like in Parks of Aviros, says better for people to do 100 big aviros on their own than for the rabbis to permit a small avira, because that's a matter of principle. And as a matter of principle, we can't say you're allowed to do an avira. And that's true in across the board. Okay, many, many examples of that we won't deal with right now. Although, you know, we'll see again and again some of these issues come up. Okay, the one thing we didn't get to discuss today was a very, very, very big halacha l'maisa. Actually, I'll tell you another interesting thing that I heard from Rav Tendler and others in the name of his father-in-law, Rav Moshe. Let's say you have someone who's like not from or about Shuva, etc., and you know, you think that like if you tell them all the Shivanakim and Humadur Abzera, they just too hard, they're not going to do it. Maybe they'll just do the Doraisa. Going back to that question, can you tell them to just do the Doraisa and at least keep the Doraisa even if they don't keep the Drabanan? Or is that a matter of principle? So the Hadracha generally is that you can never tell someone to do an Avera, even as a compromise. I can't tell you, well, only keep like the Doraisa parts, not the Drabanan parts, only keep half the Lachas, not the other half the Lachas, and that's okay. It's a matter of principle, you can't say it's okay. What you could say is, these are the Halachos. Mida Oraisa, this is what you're chayiv to do. Mida Rabbanan, you're chayiv to do more. And then if the person on their own, you know, wants to do less, that's one thing. In general, like if I'm doing Hadracha, you could sort of give someone information and maybe they'll want to compromise their halachic observance if you think that might be useful for them in the long run. But you can't tell someone it's okay to keep one halacha and violate another halacha. There it becomes a matter of principle, similar to what Ellie pointed out. Okay, what we didn't get to yet is the first Pesachei Tshuva, which is very important, which is what is a hargasha, with the whole union of hargasha. We didn't get to the whole inyan of Hargasha now. And that's going to come up again and again, the whole inyan of Hargasha. But maybe we will, since the hour is already a little late, and there's, you know, some of the next siman has a little less side topics that we have to discuss about. Maybe we'll leave that for next time. So next time we'll pick up with a little discussion of Hargasha. Please bring back these sheets. Because the second side of the sheet is some chorus about Hargasha. You can look at them in advance if you want to. We'll discuss a little Hargasha, at least some of that first Pesachei Tshuva, maybe not all of it, we'll save some of it for later. And we'll move on to Siman Kuf Pei Dalet, Amir Tashem, next time. Okay.